Chapter 7, The Grief of God. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Genesis 6, verse 6. Within each moment of time, there flows forth from the throne of God a mighty torrent of loving grace and power that gives life to the earth. The majestic hills covered with trees, flowers and plants of many colors and scents provide a living backdrop for the home of men. Delicious fruits, savory vegetables, 1,000 different flavors and delicacies lay upon the tables of men. Millions of hearts throb with the pulse of life that flows from the one who possesses immortality. It is the joy of God to give. Yet since the fall of man, there is no answering chord of gratitude, no heartfelt appreciation. Even among those who manage to offer a prayer of thanks for the food they are about to eat, the words are a pious ritual that seeks to convince the speaker and listeners that they are indeed thankful when they have merely come to see, to take, and to possess. They call it the terrible twos. The pain and shock that parents experience when their precious little bundle of joy first screws up its face and says, "No!" Such defiance, such foolishness bound up in the heart of a child. A mother is shopping with her toddler, and the child sees something that pleases him, and the hand instinctively reaches out to possess. The seeds of Eros are producing their toxic fruit. The mother passes by hoping the request will evaporate. There is a wail of despair, and the drama begins in earnest. Two wills now lock in battle. The child reaches out and begins to pull things from the shelf as the demands continue. The mother has the choice to offer something to pacify the child or try and endure the increasing drama with screams, sobs, and every possible tactic known to get its way. During this time, nearly every parental instruction is countered and resisted. This is raw human nature. For the majority of the human race, age only teaches us to be more crafty and calculated in manifesting our desires to see, take, and possess. The terrible twos are only a precursor to the often more chaotic teen years, where the battleground becomes far more complex, but the resistance is the same. At some point, parents become weighed down with a sense of grief. The memory of their precious bundle of joy they have nurtured, loved, and cared for suddenly appears to mean little. Instead, that memory is often thrown back at you as an intimidation tactic. The resulting sorrow drives many parents into combat with a determination to crush this opposition. Mothers often plead with fathers to relent of their fury in response to repeated defiance, ingratitude, and disrespect. Some parents, in their rush to pacify a willful teen, buy them more and more things, but the satisfaction level keeps decreasing while the demands keep increasing. Such is the fruit that comes from the sorceress and her apprentice. If we could see things from the throne of God and witness the entire population of the human race drenched in the spirit of Eros, grasping for and seeking to possess the very things that God had freely given as a token of his agape love, could we then begin to understand his grief? With minds seared to spiritual realities, they have almost no capacity to perceive that he exists. Only the teeny ember of the promised seed whispers, in a still small voice, deep within the conscience, that all this was given freely from a heart full of agape love. With each replay of the Garden Eros scene, the less that man thinks of himself as a recipient of love, the more he takes for himself, the less gratitude he feels and the less he is able to give. Each cycle of Eros that turns attraction into disappointment creates a more intense desire to obtain, to dilute the disappointment. So we see the birth of addiction, engaging in a process that promises bliss, but leaves you feeling empty and depressed. Addiction is the perfect reflection of Eros having total control of the soul. In contrast, the simple principle of agape is stated as follows. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10, verse 8. It is a simple yet powerful principle. The more you realize you have been given much, the more likely you are to give in the same manner. Only someone who knows they are blessed can bless. Only he who lives in a state of gratitude can truly give out a sense of abundance and fullness. As the psalmist declared, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6. Gratitude causes the cup to overflow to others, and once this process begins, it can ripple out and touch millions of lives. Such was the design of the agape motor that was to bless all the families of the earth. Adam and Eve were to be the great original love pulse filled with gratitude that would flow out in great waves to all their children. But now the Eros motor had taken over, and the once vibrant soul of man became a desert of the disappointed desire to possess. As God looks over the population of the world for any who would respond to the seed of agape, when all seems lost, there is a man who responds. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6 verse 8. I love the simplicity of this verse. Noah, in his contemplation of the world, looks by faith beyond the natural world into the eyes of God and sees graciousness, favor, and kindness. Noah's heart is filled with gratitude. The secret to joy is to know you are blessed, blessed by the one who sits on the throne of the universe. Can we imagine the delight of God? After hundreds of years of almost no response to his torrent of grace, the spark of gratitude flickers in the soul of Noah. The Spirit of Jesus dwells in the heart of a man amidst almost universal desolation. The seed of agape lives in a man. As a result, God can pour a blessing through him to preserve the human race from extinction caused by the Eros seed. Noah is a prototype of the coming seed who will crush the serpent's head. By learning that God was gracious, Noah became a channel of blessing to all those who would respond to his message. Seeing the agape of God made him the agency of grace to the world. The message was simple. The world was going to end, and as an evidence that he trusted God, a large vessel was being built at the command of God to prepare for that event. Those who believed Noah and prepared to come into the ark would be saved. Those who rejected Noah as a fool would realize too late that they had rejected the only means of escape provided. For centuries, the Spirit of God had pleaded with men to turn from the principle of Eros and respond to the promised seed of agape given to those who expressed faith in the slain lamb. How long would the cry of the small children prepared for the pleasures and whims of debauched and wicked men be allowed to continue? Who can comprehend the grief of God as he witnessed such horrendous crimes? Day after day, year after year, century after century, there continued the pursuit of personal happiness, pleasure, and fantasy without regard to the one who gave all these things. It had to stop. Yet even then, God offered the world a way of escape if they should choose it. For 120 years, God reached out to fallen man through the preaching of Noah, warning, pleading, and calling. But the people were unmoved. Not even the amazing sight of the animals moving in an orderly fashion into the ark moved them. Their hearts were unmoved, unrepentant, and unsaved. And as the drops of rain begin to fall, there comes a sickening awareness that their life of base ingratitude towards God could possibly come to an end. As the lightning strikes the earth, in fury and thunder, violently shakes the ground, men then remembered the face of innocence that they had devoured and destroyed in their lust. The earth literally vomits forth the wretched filth in an act of revulsion. Nature had groaned under the wickedness of man, and now the toxic seed of Eros reaped their full reward. Men watched in horror as their homes were washed away and pagan altars were smashed to pieces. Shrieks of terror ripped the air, and curses towards God were on the lips of the guilty. Divine patience had expired, and now the great tide of evil and the slaughter of innocence was stopped dead in its tracks. Men had sown the seed of Eros into the earth, and now the earth itself gave birth to their wickedness. The violence of men was now reflected back to them in the violence of the earth. God was deeply grieved that he had to allow men the results of his own choice. They had driven him away, and this was the result. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Job 22:15-18. All that God had wanted to give to man to enjoy, share, and live in the shadow of his blessing was snatched away by the seed of the serpent. Who can comprehend the sorrow of God at the thought of these things? Yet there were 8 souls saved from the flood. The promised seed flickered with hope in the heart of Noah and held the promise of a new beginning.